Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Diana Wiley. This show, now in its fifth season on Progressive Radio Network, is called Love, Lust, and Laughter. And my guests, Michael Jonas and Barbara Jonas, have written a book called Love, Laughter, and Romance. And I've known the Jonases for more than 20 years and have recommended their game, An Enchanting Evening, to many of my couples. Welcome to the program, Michael and Barbara.
Thank you very much.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, good. You've been on this program before, and then also when I had a radio show in Hawaii. How long have you been married now? How many years?
Are you sitting down?
Yeah, I'm sitting down, yes.
We just celebrated our 51st wedding anniversary.
Oh, that is fabulous. And you
Which
were...
Which is really amazing because we're in our 30s.
Yeah, right. 51 years. And,
I know. Yeah, we blinked. We blinked, and here we are. It happened very fast.
Yes, and People Magazine called you the most romantic couple in America.
We were selected by them as one of America's most romantic couples. That is absolutely, it is true that they selected us.
Do you practice what you preach?
Of course we do. Where do you think all these games come from?
I know. There are so many games. I knew that. It was sort of a rhetorical question because I've known you for all these years, and it's just great to have you back again as guests. So the history of the game that spawned other games, An Enchanting Evening, was your idea, Barbara, and it really has a wonderful story behind it. And I'm wondering if you would share that with us. Thank you.
It was over 30 years ago. Michael and I had a disagreement. We had some beforehand, and we've had them since. Mm-hmm. But the timing of this particular one was around the holidays, and Michael was going out of town, coming back on New Year's Eve. And usually New Year's Eve is our private time. It's just the two of us. We don't go out. And he could not wait to leave, and I couldn't wait for him to leave because it's that really bad tension that, you know, couples can create.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, I love him, and I want to celebrate our relationship. What can I do to move from that place back to the good place for to remind each other why we're together, mm-hmm. what we want to look forward to in the future, how we want to spend our time together? So while he was gone, I just hit on this idea that why didn't I have a little structure like a game? And I sat down and made it, you know, I'm not an artist, but I, you know, kind of drew out a board and I made cards, and all the cards were all positive. And they were a combination of things we would say to each other and cards that would lead us to intimacy. And what I did is put my little game in front of the fireplace. And before he came home, I literally transformed our living room. I, you know, put fresh flowers. I made sure that the music was set up. It was a mood. So then, you know, he was going to come home from a trip and come into this. I put a note on the door, and I didn't really stay very much because I didn't want to go down a wrong road. I just said, please meet me in the living room at 8 o'clock. And he's a sport.
I figured, how bad could it be? how much suffering could I endure?
Indeed.
It was just really intriguing.
Right.
And I said to Barbara said, how was the trip? And I said, fine. She said, good. I'll see you at 8 o'clock. So I moved to the bedroom. I took a shower. I shaved. I put on something really comfortable, as she had suggested, And when I came back to the living room, it was exactly as Barbara describes it. I mean, truly transformed, and candlelight and things to eat and drink. And then Barbara said, well, I have this little game. Would you like to try this? And I thought, you know, sure. I mean, again, how bad can it be? And it was just extraordinary. It was just absolutely a magical evening.
And that was the beginning of your, because at that time, Michael, you practiced as an attorney, correct?
I did. A very unhappy one.
Yeah, I've heard this from other attorneys that, they were a little sorry they went into the field, although that's not universally true.
I was involved in marketing, not actually in the automotive field, so it wasn't related to this at all.
I see, yes.
And,
okay.
And I put the game, we put it aside because it was very personal. But, you know, the cards were really for our relationship and just kind of put it in, you know, a little bag and put it in the closet. And Michael was reflecting because, you know, the feelings that we shared during that evening, they went well beyond the evening. You know, we felt even closer to each other. So he said, why don't we just depersonalize it a little bit and just give it to, you know, some of our friends and family. See if they have a good time with it. With no idea to market it. That was not, it was just to share it.
Right.
We called up Barbara's brother, who was then living, we were then living in Arizona, and he and his wife were living here, and we said we had this little game. Would you want to try it? I actually remember when this conversation, it was on a Wednesday. He drove over, picked up this envelope, which is what the game was in, and left. Mm-hmm. About 6 o'clock the next morning, he called up. He was beside himself with excitement. He said, this was amazing.
Yes.
He said, you two have to go. You have to put this together. You have to go market this thing.
Right.
And
but, you know, then we shared it with different kinds of couples. You know, people together a long time, people who were, you know, a shorter relation, but different kinds of relationships.
Right, right.
And they loved it, and they gave their, you know, their opinion to say, I really like this, and why don't you add this? And what do you think about this? And that turned into the first copy of the game, An Enchanting Evening.
An Enchanting Evening, and I've told you before that I had, well, now it's in storage, but the first game in its original box.
And, well, since then, because the game
And
now,
I've had other, of course, I've had the more recent incarnations.
But we've had many of them, so it's very current now, yes.
Right, it's very current. I noticed that. So you have you've sold a lot of Enchanting Evening, and it's how many more or less have you sold of that particular
about 750,000 copies.
So see, that's a lot. And ABC News said these games, and because other games have been have followed, these games are love, laughter, and romance in a box.
That's where we got the title for the book we wrote, literally from the quote from ABC News.
Yes.
And then what happened, once we started, you know, our first 5,000 games were in our garage. By this time, we had moved to San Francisco from Arizona. And, you know, here we are with 5,000 games in our garage and no distribution at that point. We just had all these games. And Barbara knew a salesman, and he had a station wagon, and he came over and picked up games, boxes of games, and he went out to stores locally. And Barbara went to several stores. In fact, the very first store that she sold to in the Bay Area was called Good Vibrations.
Oh, yes. The original.
With Joni Blank.
I actually went there to buy, for a display for a store, to buy some of the feathers that they had.
Mm-hmm.
And they took a look at the game, and they said, oh, we love it. We'd love to carry it here. And what was interesting with the game, because it's not chess, it's not a strategy game. Right. You know, it's a way, it's love, laughter, and romance the box. It's a way for couples to focus and get, you know, closer together.
Yes.
So I thought, I went to some lingerie stores, and they said, oh, this is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's an amenity with lingerie. And
right.
Bookstores and you know, gift stores and game stores.
The coup was Macy's in San Francisco on Union Square.
Yeah.
They said they would take it in. This was all in October, November. So the holidays, you know, Christmas buying season was around the corner. And they said, well, they'll just try it. And we had some really wonderful local media coverage. And between that time and Christmas, Macy's ordered 7 times. They could not.
Isn't that wonderful?
They couldn't keep it in. Anyway, that's.
So your first game, An Enchanting Evening, was then on the map.
Well, we still, you know, that was in California. It was in San Francisco.
Right. So it wasn't nationally yet.
Right. Right.
So
yeah.
We figured when you test market something that's, you know, that's romantic and intimate, and it does well in the Bay Area, that's great. But that doesn't mean it's going to do well in Omaha. And
indeed. And you've done some very good things with your other games that makes them really available for international, because as the San Francisco Chronicle said, the games are not age or culturally specific, and have been used to help returning soldiers reconnect with their partners.
And yes.
Yeah, through fun and play. And that's wonderful. That is just what a difference you're making,
well,
Barbara and Michael.
We have over 40,000 letters and cards from couples who have played the games.
Yes.
And sharing, you know, the experiences, whether someone is proposed to playing it or someone celebrates
mm-hmm.
their 50th anniversary or after a baby.
Mm-hmm.
It brings the couple back to the couple.
Mm-hmm.
And people have conceived their kids and told us that.
Yeah, that part was really scary because we said, what's going to happen 19 years from now when they say the kid's ready to go to college and it's our fault?
Well, you know, you must feel that you're making a big difference with your games, and you are. And that's really inspiring, and I have over the years I've loaned or suggested that my couples buy your games, and I'm thinking back to one couple where it was just dramatic. They were a Catholic couple, and they had a 9-year-old daughter who slept well and was in her room, but they had never made love outside of their bedroom, and they played An Enchanting Evening in front of the fireplace, and they got so turned on, and they also had kind of a lackluster love life, but they got so turned on that they made love in front of the fireplace mm-hmm. the first time outside of their bedroom, and they were just so excited, very excited and fulfilled and satisfied.
You know, we have heard from dramatic stories like that from couples.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard from some psychologists who told us they were seeing a couple who hadn't consummated their marriage for, you know, they didn't share what the reasons were.
Right, right.
And they worked with them for, you know, the time that they needed to first. I mean, the
mm-hmm.
games don't answer, you know, problems, don't solve the problems. But when they felt it was appropriate, they gave them the game, and they consummated their marriage. You know, the game, it gave them permission to do that.
I
believe it.
That's probably the for couples, especially for heterosexual couples, it's a different dynamic for each side, not for every couple, of course, because every couple brings their own unique characteristics to a relationship. But often we hear from women saying they really like this game because it does two things. It
mm-hmm.
slows the whole romantic experience down, meaning
yep.
their partner slows down. Mm-hmm. And the second is that it gives their partner, if it's the man, permission to say things that he might be feeling but would be uncomfortable, self-conscious, or feel constrained and not share. So it's kind of like, you know, if you remember Flip Wilson when he used to say, the devil made me do it.
Right.
Well,
right.
The game made me say it. And because these games, all of our games, are positive and upbeat and funny, it tends to dispel any tension. Couples relax with it. We have heard stories with, like, for example, in An Enchanting Evening, the die, there's a board and movers and a die. The die is only a one or two. Three,
that's
one,
right.
Or three. And we have heard stories from women who've said, you know, I played this game with my husband, and he was getting more and more frustrated as we played because he kept rolling one or two and wasn't going around the board as fast as he wanted. So she finally pointed out to him, and it was like an aha moment.
Right, right. I want to let our listeners know that the Jonases have been extremely generous, because if you go to timefortwo.com, and I'll put this up on the summary, of course. If you go to that time for two, you'll see the full range of their games. But in terms of what they're offering, they've set up a shopping cart so that you listeners can get a copy of either Romantic Interlude or Make a Date at no cost. And so you have to pick one of them, and you have to use the following code, which is Wiley, my last name, W-I-L-E-Y. And you only get one, and you can only download one time. So I think that's very generous of you. And these are wonderful, the Make a Date and A Conversation Game for Two and Romancing the Senses.
What we did with the games that we're glad to share at no cost to your listeners. Romantic Interlude is an intimate game. These are single play games. They're designed to be played once. They obviously can be played more than once, but it's at least once. Make a Date is a dating conversation game. It is not intimate. And it's really derived from a game that we created called To Know You Better. To Know You Better came from these responses that we got from couples playing An Enchanting Evening, and a number of them said, gee, you know, the cards are so entertainingly written that why don't you do a game that isn't intimate? And the Game Retailer Network and Fun and Games Magazine picked To Know You Better as the best game of the year we launched it. And it's a more robust product. It has 210 cards. But Make a Date relies a lot on that content with 36 cards, and it's downloadable. You print it and you play it. So the idea behind doing the downloadable games was don't wait for romance and don't wait for, you know, don't put your date off or date night off, whether you're dating or you're in a long-term relationship, doesn't make any difference. Just download, print, and play. So that's what we'd like to share with your listeners.
And I just want to mention when the code Wiley that you mentioned, it's capital W, but then small, I-L-E-Y.
Thank you, yes. And you put that in the email to me, yeah.
Yeah, the computers they're so exacting.
I know. So capital W, I, small, I-L-E-Y.
Yes.
So,
yes.
And these are wonderful games, and I'm thinking that Make a Date, a conversation game for two, could really help a new couple generate some great conversations. I mean, you two have just been very creative about coming up with wonderful questions and, like, I'm just looking here. Let's see. Question 8. So you often start them with a quote, East, West, home's best. And that's an adage. But so, and you write, so what if it's a fantasy?
I could have a second home, if I could have a second home, it would most likely be houseboat on a clear lake, a chic apartment in a major city, a cabin in the mountains, a little grass shack near a beach, an RV trailer on the road. This would be a way to get a new person in your life to understand them a little bit better.
Well, the game with Make a Date, and this is different than, for instance, an Enchanting Evening where they're open-ended questions.
That's right.
And here you guess what the other person, you know, how they're going to answer the question. And whoever wins Make a Date, what they get is at the beginning of the game, you choose a date that you would like to go on in the next 2 weeks. And whoever wins gets the other person, you know, to have that date. But it's good for people who, you know, are just meeting and dating. But we've heard from, you know, couples who said, oh, my gosh, I thought we had nothing in common anymore. And it's an opportunity for you to talk about yourself. Where the other games, it's all around the couple. This is to know you better, and this Make a Date is you talk about your accomplishments, you get to talk about your childhood, you know, kind of things, bragging in a sense that you don't discuss in normal day, you know, in an everyday conversation. You know, it's usually who's, you know, either picking up the kids or who's making dinner or I'm running to a meeting, and here you're talking about, you know, really nice things about yourself.
We have a couple of friendly with in the Bay Area in San Francisco. He's a travels the world doing public speaking. He's well known. And we gave them at one time, we gave them a copy of To Know You Better. We just thought they would enjoy it. And she called us the next couple of days later, and she said, I have to tell you about one of the experiences. She said, there's a card in the game that John picked, and it's where you end up talking about some secret place that you had when you were a boy or a little girl, like your place in the house or in the yard or in wherever. She said, and when he started talking about it, and he's 6'8", she said, when he started talking about it, it was the little boy sitting in front of her talking about it, and she said they just started laughing. It was just because it's a break from the day-to-day stresses and demands. In fact, that's where Time for Two came from. The name of our company is two people taking time to focus on their relationship and on each other.
And couples need that so much. You know, the two words that I use a lot in my private practice with couples I see for marital counseling, sexual counseling, is slow down. And this, and your games enable couples to slow down and to look at each other and to talk about things that they have never talked about before, perhaps.
And if they're going to play the game, they have to make, you know, a private time. That in itself is challenging for many couples.
I know, so, to put aside, because sometimes when I suggest your games, I hear from my couples, oh, we didn't have time to play, and I, well, that's diagnostic in and of itself.
Right. And you know, we have heard from couples who have said on, you know, X amount of time, they put aside the time for each other to play. This would be an enchanting evening, mm-hmm. And they never got to the game, and because
right.
They hadn't, just the idea of making that time that you're suggesting to the couples you counsel would, it just makes such a difference because you're focusing on each other, you're turning off the electronics, you're
right.
Yes,
that's one of the reasons why one of our suggestions. With the packaging of our games on the back of the games, there's a fairly good amount of information and suggestions about setting up the evening, creating a date time for, you know, yourselves. One of the things we've recommended that people have given us feedback on that was very positive is where one person in the relationship makes the evening happen. a mystery date, like Barbara did for me when I came home from this business trip that started all of this. You know, meet me in the living room at such and such an hour, wear something comfortable, and that's all. And then the person doing the inviting sets up the food and whatever to drink and music and candles, whatever's appropriate for the relationship. And the recipient, the receiving party, all he or she has to do is be there. And the mystery around it heightens the anticipation. It makes for an even more seductive evening. It's the same issue of finding the space, finding the time, and making it happen.
But, you know, sometimes couples, you know, I created that for Michael, and he walked right, you know, he walked into it.
But literally.
But another thing that couples have told us is, let's say it's a date night, or you're going to have a private time for the two of you, but you plan it, let's say, a week ahead of time. You don't tell the other person. You just kind of do little hints, maybe, you know, a little note to them, maybe a little gift. Suggesting something they might wear. So you build up an anticipation, and you get
right.
to enjoy that anticipation all week long. You both can do it together, too. You could both plan, and you could shop for the food together. So you really prolong the experience, I mean, the enjoyable part of the experience. And it just builds the energy, you know, for the date.
So I think I've taken some pages from your book, because one of the more common homework assignments I give to my couples is to plan, especially couples with young children or even older children, to have two date nights a month, to take turns planning the date night,
mm-hmm.
and to, because that element of surprise, you don't let the other, if it's your turn, you don't let the other know what you've planned, because surprise can be romantic,
yes,
as you two well know. And then whoever's planned the date night, then later, either that night or the next morning, gets to initiate sex.
Yes.
So that little trade-off is a good thing for many couples.
And it also then gives an opportunity for that person to have permission and to express what they want sexually.
You know, exactly,
yeah.
And some, especially my women, although it's not always, but need a little help with that.
And, well, you know, one of the, and this is, you know, people could have, what do you call it, a change jar for the, I think, which is a really important thing, is to have a getaway one night at, you know, a local hotel or a local bed and breakfast, where you're physically away from your home and you're in a different environment. And couples have told us when they do that, let's say they go Friday night and they're going to stay Saturday and Saturday night, they are so exhausted from their life.
Right.
The first thing they do is go to sleep.
Right.
And get a good night's sleep. And then in the morning, they play the game and they, you know, have order room service and breakfast in bed. But this exhaustion issue, you know, it's very pervasive.
Very much so. And so to acknowledge that. Now, when couples are away and they're potentially making love in a new place, mm-hmm. that can stimulate the production of dopamine, the hormone of arousal, because dopamine needs novelty. So making love in a new place,
mm-hmm.
thus vacation sex is often hotter, is important. But first to get some rest, because you're right.
Right.
You know, it's interesting, and I think Barbara and I have had this experience too. You know, traveling, when you get to someplace like, you know, for say a long weekend or even a long
mm-hmm.
trip, but that first day that you're in the new environment, you just suddenly realize how stressful your life has been.
Yes.
To that point. I mean, you get into, we live in rhythms and patterns and sometimes don't really analyze or reflect on the content of those patterns. They're just comfortable and we do it. Then you stop the pattern and you say, oh my gosh, I mean, this is exhausting. I didn't realize I was so tired.
But
yes.
You know, also, if you go, you know, couples go to the bed and breakfast or they go to a local getaway, there are other things. It's a new environment. But they, you know, they know, oh, aren't these sheets nice? You know, this is, and oh, we're taking a bubble bath, or the environment is a more romantic environment. And hopefully, when they go home, there are certain elements of that they can consider to incorporate, you know, in their own bedroom.
Yes, the takeaways.
Yes.
So one of the games that listeners can download, they can only pick one, and you're going to keep it up for 2 weeks because I'm so glad you're going to do part two next week. But romancing the senses. And I think, Barbara, you're the one who wrote about the rites of spring and its renewal time and the idea of renew and refresh.
And then
you go through the senses. So talk about where this idea came from.
Well, you know, I think throughout the world, this is the time of renewal. You know, whether, you know, through religious holidays, this is the time, you know, that the snow's melting and the grass is growing and the birds are chirping, and it's just a refreshing time. It's a time the earth renews itself.
Yes.
And it's a perfect time then to look at your relationship and look at, you know, your romance and renew it, refresh it. And it doesn't, you know, there's so many things that a couple can do, little things that will, you know, make a change in the relationship. One of the easiest things is just look at your relationship, just tilt your head.
Tilt your head, okay?
Just tilt your head. Look at your partner differently. Have your partner look at you differently. You know, how would somebody else, if you were describing him or her, you know, what are the positive things you would describe? And just to take the time, you know, to see who it is that you're living with, or, you know, that you're sharing life with.
And one of the questions in An Enchanting Evening that ties into this is, how would you answer, if you saw your partner at a party, what would first attract you?
Yes.
And, you know, that can open up lots of discussions, because I have found with the couples that I work with so often, they're in a bit of a rut, they're bored, and their relationship is really dying from emotional undernourishment. They need to say more words. And well, this is, you're going to get into the first is sight, and then is touch, and then is sound. So we'll get into the sound part with the words, because a lot of women are in effect saying, make love to me in my ear. Say the words. I need to hear the words.
Right. What we did for spring renewal is, and we're going to be launching this on our Facebook page and our blog and Twitter and Pinterest probably in the next week or so.
Okay, good.
But we're going to do this for a month, and each week we'll be looking at each of the five senses each week, and how you, by paying attention to your senses, you can use those senses to heighten your romantic and intimate relationship. And so we thought, one, the five senses, two, the renewal and refresh, and we would take a month to do this and invite people to share their ideas, their suggestions, their experiences. Interestingly enough, for Barbara and me, I mean, it's been fun and continues to be fun to create these products, but a lot of the stuff we create comes from inspirations from other couples that have shared their personal experiences. And as Barbara said from way back at the very beginning, when we first sort of test marketed An Enchanting Evening, where people said, well, we like this, but try this, or maybe you should include this. That whole participation has made it easier for us to understand what other couples will find appealing and attractive about our products.
Well, that's very smart. You're tapping directly into the market and listening, and that's one of the points that you point out in the sound part, but really listening to the people who've played your games so that you can improve them, the games and make them more, yes.
And it would be fun if couples, you know, your listeners
yes.
would take this time and to say, why don't I take a month? And what are, you know, some of the things that we can do or I can do, and then by my doing it, it's definitely going to affect your, you know, your partner. You know, if you turned your eating into more dining, if you got rid of, let's say, clutter, if you put a dimmer switch on and lowered, you know, the lights and you turned off the television, just little things, it would make a difference because it would make a difference on how you speak to each other, how you the interaction of the couple. I remember when we were writing the book of Love, Laughter, and Romance, and we were in San Francisco with the first edition of the book, and we were just thinking about the senses. Which,
mm-hmm.
Well, Michael and I incorporate them in our everyday life, but I would, on the way to work, I would bring in a bunch of flowers and put it on everyone's desk. And it was, it just changes, you know, it changes the way you feel.
Yes, absolutely. The setting, what you wear, the setting,
yes.
how you eat, the sound, sight, smell, and how you feel about your lover when you're dining, right?
Yes.
And when I lived in Los Angeles several years ago, a good friend introduced me to Wolfgang Puck. And upon realizing I was a sex therapist, he observed, "The two essentials of life are food and sex." And we smiled at each other in recognition.
And not necessarily in that order.
No, not necessarily. I agree. But certainly feeding each other aphrodisiac foods can help a couple slow down. And I know you have a number of food-related cards in your games. But I have to pause here for a moment to give you Rodney Dangerfield. Well, he's passed on now, but he has a wonderful joke. He said, "I'm at the place in life where food has taken the place of sex. In fact, I just had mirrors installed above my kitchen table."
But, you know, the combination of food and sex, because, you know, you can gobble down, you know, a hot dog.
Exactly.
Gobble down sex. But it's how enjoyable it is to have a sensuous meal, you know, and to have, you know, delicious sex.
Yes, and if you think about it, from nursing to death, food and sex do go hand in hand. But I don't think any so-called aphrodisiac food, and I think it's, you know, it's a little bit of a placebo, although things like oysters are high in zinc, which is good for the brain, so, yeah. But I think that for most, no aphrodisiac takes effect without affection. And so carried to perfection, it becomes love.
One of the things that's interesting about these games is the discoveries that take place. And the whole notion, for example, of aphrodisiacs being placebos, it's interesting when you find out what your partner, what foods and drink your partner finds romantically attractive. You know, there are foods that Barbara and I share or meals that we have shared together that someone else might look at us and say, you know, what's romantic about that? But the experience that we've shared with the food, and maybe it's been associated with being intimate. It might just be associated with just a place that we were or fun that we had. But those are aphrodisiacs, even if they're not the classical you know, oysters and ginseng. So again, couples communicating and learning what each other finds attractive and erotic and inviting.
Exactly. And then to have a discussion about it. Well, how come?
Or to share the food.
Or to share the food. And yes. Again, to slow down, I encourage couples to, if they have a big enough bathtub, to take a bath together and to have a tray of foods that have different textures that they can feed each other in the bathtub, like dried fruits or nuts and pour a little bit of champagne, not expensive champagne, but on their partner's body.
I think one of the cards in An Enchanting Evening addresses that. It suggests that also.
Yes. Yes. Well, it's, you can't, yeah, there are lots of things that are romantic, and the taking a bath together helps couples slow down and feeding each other and noticing the textures, right?
Oh, yeah, you know, it's not that expensive, but, you know, to have fluffy towels, to have scents in the bathroom, scents, you know, that the aromas that you both like. Some couples have told us they, you know, they might wash the other one's hair, you know, give massage. You know, they can, if you're not living in California or Arizona, take a shower together.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, because
we're trying to think of engaging experiences that don't require as much water right now.
But you know, and in the bathroom too, to put in a dimmer switch.
Good idea.
Not have all that clutter.
The clutter business and clutter in the bathroom, especially clutter in the bedroom, right?
Yes. Oh, you know, I have. I've gone, you know, and friends are come into the bedroom. I want to show you something that I just got. And I see the laundry basket there with the laundry all over and some people, you know, with boxes of paper. And I thought, oh, my gosh, you know, there isn't like a private getaway for the couple. It's just not conducive, you know, to romance. It's not conducive to sex. There's no sensuousness there. It's just cleaning up a room, you know, maybe the springtime getting a new bedspread, you know.
Right.
And
incidentally, Diana, I just noticed that.
What did you notice?
I noticed that somebody just selected a copy of Romantic Interlude, one of your listeners.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Did they go to Time for Two and you can see it?
They ordered it
and they got it
for free. Yes.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I'm really glad we've got people listening. I know we do. And then, of course, people will listen to the archived version of this show, and they can still do this. It's very generous of the two of you to do this.
Well, I want to mention something about with the downloadable game. The other games that we're talking about, Enchanting Evening, Romantic Sensations, Know You Better, and we have others. We only ship to the United States.
Right.
Because of just, you know, the difficulty. Even shipping to Canada becomes difficulty with all the customs, et cetera.
That's right. That's right.
But these games, Romantic Interlude and Make a Date, can be downloaded anywhere in the world. So, someone could just download it now, you know, print it and play it tonight, and, you know, if they're in Australia.
Right.
So I just want to point it out.
That's important to point out. And thank goodness for the Internet, because you're able to get your games out to many countries where there's such a need for more intimacy and conversation. I was sharing with you off the air that I have in my practice Chinese, Indian, in one case a Turkish couple, and all three of these countries tend to have rather poor sex education. So these couples really need to connect with each other, to understand each other, and of course part of my work first is to do sex education even before I can do sex therapy.
Well, you know, this is just an interesting along that line. When we were in San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
we had considered that maybe we would make the games available in China because at the time we were they were printed in Hong Kong, and we thought, well, the person there might like to also make them available. And we had tested the game with some Chinese-American couples, and they had difficulty, they even around with the idea of love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just was not, it was difficult for them to make a transition from how they were acculturated, you know, how they were
mm-hmm.
raised.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I mean, it is tricky, and I find it's challenging to do my therapy with some of these couples where, say, the husband has been brought from China or India to work for Microsoft, for example. I'm in Seattle, so there's a lot of Microsoft people. And so then they bring their wives, and so even to consummate their marriages has, in some cases, been a challenge.
Well, isn't it also for them to reach out to you? That must be difficult for them to admit it.
Absolutely, and I acknowledge that, that it took a lot of courage for them to sit with me,
yes.
an American woman who speaks so openly about sexuality.
Yes. And they would they would feel comfortable then, you know, to talk about something very personal.
It's very awkward for them because, you know, they don't have the sex education, they haven't heard about it from their parents, and yet the parents, often back in their country of origin, expect a grandchild. Well, how come a grandchild isn't coming our way?
And
because the couple's not even having intercourse. So, you know, that's the best way to
conceive. Right, the grandparents say, we figured it out somehow.
Yeah.
It wasn't fun, but we did it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I do think, though, that your games, talk about how many games you have now, just kind of an overview. We've got, you know, about 12 more minutes or so before the show ends.
Okay,
so talk about your other games.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, no.
Enchanting Evening, of course. We've talked about To Know You Better, which is a conversation dating game, not intimate. We have a game called Romantic Sensations, which is really like a card game, but it comes with bath gel and massage lotion, and it's a game where you again focus on the five senses and use your senses romantically and intimately. We have a game called Fan the Flames, which is more in the realm of preferences and fantasies. We have a game called
Romantic Interlude.
The two downloadable games, Romantic Interlude, which is also a romantic intimate game. That's the single play downloadable. Make a Date, which is the conversation single play game. That's downloadable. And then our book, The Book of Love, Laughter, and Romance, and that's available on our website as a PDF file. Soon to be available in at iTunes and Amazon and Google Play as an ebook.
Oh, that's terrific! I have your book in front of me, The Book of Love, Laughter, and Romance. Wonderful suggestions and delightful ideas for couples who want to stay close, have fun, and keep the enchantment alive by Barbara and Michael Jonas, creators of An Enchanting Evening. And I'm so pleased because you're going to come back next week, and I'd like to talk about at the end of your book, you have six satin strings to tie around your finger.
Mm-hmm.
And these are ways to be more intimate, and they're excellent. I mean, They're spot on. they're ideas that I use as a sex therapist, as a relationship counselor. So we'll talk about that and more, but it'll be interesting to see how many of the listeners do take advantage of this free. Let's go over this again now. So you go to timefortwo.com, and so you've set up the shopping cart, so they can either get a copy of Romantic Interlude or Make a Date, no cost.
And it sells at our website, if they were to purchase it, it's $7.95.
And okay, that's good to know, too.
If they go to the home page, on the upper toolbar, one of the link choices is called Downloadables.
Mm-hmm.
If they click on that, that will take them to the page where Romantic Interlude and Make a Date are. And the rest is just the shopping, you know, going through the shopping cart, which is pretty intuitive, and then putting in at the appropriate place the code Wiley, W-I-L-E-Y with a capital W.
Right. So that makes it pretty simple. I think it's very generous of you to offer this free.
Well, I look forward, you know, to your listeners, if they take advantage of it, and after they play, you know, to email both, you know, to you and to us, you know, sharing something about their experience.
You know, that would be good. And I don't often share this with listeners. I probably should, although many have figured it out. But my website is drdianawiley.com, DR for doctor. And my email is on that website, so you can share with me there about this show or any of the shows. I welcome that. You know, one reason I'm doing this work, and I suspect it's true for you, Michael, and Barbara as well, is, you know, we want to make a difference in people's lives. We want to get out good information about love and sexuality and intimacy and fun and play, right? Just to make a difference in people's lives.
Well, and, you know, I think it makes a difference, you know, in our greater world, too, because there's a lot we can't do much about that goes on. But we can in our relationship, you know, a healthy, happy, fun relationship is an example to, if there are children, example to friends and family, and it spreads out. So it makes it a difference to our communities, you know, to have people who are enjoying themselves and the people they're sharing their lives with.
Absolutely. And if couples have children, these children are such sensitive barometers for what's going on in their parents' relationship. And so if parents are affectionate with each other and with the children often emerge more securely attached, which makes a big difference in their adult relationships later on.
Well, and we've heard from couples where some of the issues that they have had is the showing of affection, because one of the partners might come from an environment where their parents were demonstrably loving.
Mm-hmm.
They held hands, they touched, they kissed, and that, you know, was just a wonderful experience for him to observe and to want to incorporate in his relationship. The other person didn't have that. You know, they weren't physical. You know, the parents weren't physical, and there wasn't the touching and showing of affection. And, you know, it causes, well, you speak probably to couples like that.
Oh,
and
many.
Yes.
Many. Because if we look at adult relationships through the lens of attachment theory, and maybe we'll revisit this next week in our show, because attachment theory is pretty fascinating. So you have secure attachment, which is the best, and then you have anxious or avoidant attachment. And I find that adult relationships are greatly influenced by what kind of environment they grew up in with their parents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So But all of these things can be shifted and improved, and I think your games are just an amazing way to help. Because your games, some of the cards encourage affection.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, half of the cards in Not to Know You Better or Make a Date, but in all the other games, half of the cards are they're gentle, playful, or sexy or touching. You make it as sexy as you want, but
right.
Half cards are intimate.
We're the one of the things that we've heard back from so many couples that they appreciated with these games that they did not find, for example, in games that are very sexually explicit and very directive.
Right.
There's lots of double entendres, there's lots of subtlety, there's lots of ambiguity, and the ambiguity lets the couple be as playful or intimate as, one, they want to be, and two, in a way that's comfortable for them. So they're not told or directed to do something that just simply might not be comfortable or appropriate for their relationship. So that was that, and that was something that we learned early on in this experience of sharing with couples. You can't assume every couple is in the same place in their relationship. You can't, it's not a cookie cutter world out there. So this ambiguity and subtlety was a way of avoiding that kind of potential conflict where one partner says to the other, I don't want to do that. So we've avoided the I don't want to do that experience.
Mm-hmm. I did want to mention, and maybe next week, you know, we can talk about it, because this is a product that we forgot to mention, and that is because we've heard from couples to say, gosh, I'd really like to play the game. I'd like to do a lot of things, even if they look, you know, at romance in the senses over the next month. But how do I get him or her to go along with me?
Right, okay.
And we have a couple's wish box we can talk about. It's called Two to Tango.
Okay, well, there's the music, which means we need to wrap this show up. Thank you, Barbara and Michael Jonas. And I'll go ahead and write up a summary of today's show and remind people how they can get the your free offers, which are so generous. Thank you, and I look forward to our part two next week.
I am, too.
We will. We're looking forward to it.
Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.